Welcome to Shining Bright, the Farm Her radio show all about women doing great things. Women who are making the ordinary extraordinary. Women following their passion, taking action, and making a difference for themselves and others. Join me, Margie, as your host on Shining Bright by Farm Her.
Here we are again. Welcome to Shining Bright. And I am really excited about today's episode because it's something that's near and dear to my heart, whether I thought it was at any point in my background or not. And we're going to be talking about creating a brand and things we can do to grow that brand. And we've got a couple different guests that we're going to have on that will share their perspectives. And I think you all are going to hear some really unique things. And so just real quick, talking about why branding is always at the front of my mind. When I started Farm Her, it was a photography project. April 13th, 2017, which was just over 6 years ago, I visited my first farm, and it was just this idea I had to show people that women were an important and real part of agriculture. And so me and my camera and a farm here in Iowa, and boom, the ball started rolling. And so while I went to college for graphic design, journalism, and photography, I can't say that I'd ever had a whole lot of experience in actually branding something. You know, I'd worked in marketing before, but when I break it down, like, I'd never dealt with branding anything quite like this. And so from there, it was put together a logo, very simple, very easy, and really just have a goal of, you know, my goal was to shine a light on the role that women play in agriculture and to show the world that those women are a very real, important, strong part of agriculture. Pretty simple, pretty lofty. When I look back, it kind of makes me laugh a little bit, but that's okay. And so using the tools that I had at my disposal easily that didn't cost me anything, I had a computer, I had a camera, right? So we can go take pictures, and social media pages and a website is actually a not too difficult thing to build if is in the basic sense, right? For what I was doing at that time. And so put together those pieces, but knowing that you have to have those pieces. And I will say, looking back, the one thing that I knew that my brand needed before it went out into the world was it needed something to show you what that brand was. So I photographed like 8 women before I hit that publish button, before anybody saw anything about Farm Her. I had a lineup, right, of people to show so that people could understand what that brand was about. And quite honestly, so I could understand what it was about, because it was like a freeform thing at that point, you know. And by the time I'd photographed 8 people, I had a much better idea of what that might look like. And so I think that we get in our minds that, you know, it has to be this really big, elaborate thing. And I tend to go there as well. And when I look back, it really wasn't. It was just putting together a few basic pieces and keeping your foot like lightly on the gas. And that's what you're going to hear from with these women today, you know, and as our brand. And I would never have called Farm Her a brand in the beginning. It was a project. It was my passion project, you know, and then it turned into, like, I would call it a movement or, you know, something like that. And now I would call it a brand. And so now it's a brand that I hope everybody knows when they look to it, what they can get from it, what we are there to give you, how we're there to help you and connect you to each other. And so, or to, you know, provide inspiration or empowerment or whatever it is that you need from that. And so, I think, you know, it's been an evolving thing, obviously, that's grown and changed. And we're going to talk to a few women in the next segment. And I'm just going to call them the Simple Goodness Sisters. Their names are Venice and Belinda. And so we filmed them. They're going to be on our TV show this week. And we visited their farm. It was kind of a happenstance thing that we ended up visiting on a trip that we already had planned to the Pacific Northwest, and got to see kind of behind the scenes. And these women have really created a really cool brand, and not just one brand, multiple brands. And you're going to hear that they don't have a background in this. Like, they aren't experts in this field, but I think there's a few things when I look at them that they have on their side. And I think this is a lesson for anybody. You got to have your cheerleaders right there alongside with you, keeping you in line of you can do this, and keeping you in check of does this fit our brand? Is this the right thing for us to do? And they have that in each other. And if you don't have a sister right there alongside of you running at whatever it is you're running at in life, have somebody who's a cheerleader. And I think, you know, when I look at them, The other thing that they have this super passion about it, and they've used the tools that are around them. I found them on Instagram, and you know, we made a connection, and I've met some pretty cool people, and we're able to share their story. And they've used what is right around them, and they never looked at it like, we don't know what we're doing. They just kind of started putting themselves out there, and it has grown and changed, and they've learned lessons from it. You're going to hear a lot more about them. But I think the other thing that I take away from their TV show, and I think you'll probably hear this in the discussion with them, is going with your gut, right? Like doing what matters to you and sticking to you authentically, because if you don't, nothing's going to feel right. And so stick with us. We've got some pretty cool lessons on creating a brand up next on Shining Bright by FarmHer. Welcome to Shining Bright. Today, we have an episode all about branding, and we've got a cool, let me take this back. We spent some time in the Pacific Northwest filming for FarmHer on RFD TV. Oh, last fall, I think it was last year. And one of those episodes is going to be airing soon. And I really respect the brand that these two women have started and built and grown. And so we're going to be talking about their businesses and a little bit about branding. So Venice and Belinda, welcome to Shining Bright.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We're happy to be here.
Yes. So let's take it back a little ways and talk a little bit about your background, any connections that you had to agriculture, something that might give us a hint as to what led you to the path that you're on today.
Yeah, so I'll start. This is Venice, and we own the Simple Goodness Farm. And so I started out farming about 6 years when we bought our farm. It's on 10 acres, and we're in Buckley. So we're very much kind of an urban farm when you think of us in the scale of farms across the country. And we started out growing garlic, a very niche heirloom variety of garlic, and then eventually transitioned into herbs. And what's interesting about our business is that I think there's a lot of herb growers out there, but we grow herbs that are specifically tailored towards bar programs. And the way we got there is through my sister, who is the owner of the Happy Camper Cocktail Company.
Yeah, so I had a mobile bar, and I had started that after leaving a job and recruiting at Microsoft that was just a little bit too challenging with a young family, and where we are is about 90 minutes from the Redmond, Seattle area, so commute was getting tough, and so decided I wanted to chase my entrepreneurial dreams and do this mobile bar company, and I wanted something that would really set us apart in that market. And so we decided that our program would be Garden to Glass and kind of capitalize on the farm to table movement that was happening in restaurants in Seattle, but not necessarily yet in bars. And Venice loved the idea and really got behind it and was willing to start growing some things and testing some things out. And as far as why we ever would have gone into those two things to start with, I've just always been really passionate about food. So my interest in agriculture came from being an eater
yes.
and a drinker and being really interested in like how those products come to us and how to grow them. And I was a total black thumb that was determined to change that. I had this like alter ego Southern lady, like steel magnolias of tomato growing lady that I was going to become. And I just like really focused on that and got really into gardening just in my own backyard, and then really interested in helping Venice when she bought the farm as well.
Yeah,
and we bought the farm after my stint at Montana State University. And so I went to school there, which is obviously the Ag School, go Bobcats, and was introduced into this very different world of agriculture, lots of cattle ranching over there. And so that was a huge eye opener for me into what farms on a very, very large scale looked like. Ultimately, I thought I was definitely going to live there and I was going to be this rancher. And then I realized that my family is all over here. And so I came back and but still wanted a piece of that rural lifestyle, even if it was close to home. And so that's why we ended up looking everywhere for small tract of land, because land is very expensive out here, and that we could grow on. And then it was from there figuring out what we could grow that would work and get us kind of that price point we needed to make it work on a very small scale.
And
so it's been about finding our niche.
Yeah, which can be super tough, but I know you ladies have done it. So we'll dig into that more. And one other thing I'd like to note, because this kind of parallels what happened to me with FarmHer, is like you talked about challenges and maybe where you were at or in your life with a job or a career that, you know, you've been running at, and you're at a point where you need to make a change, and you guys both have young families, and these are dreams that you're chasing while you're juggling those young families, correct?
Yeah, definitely. We are both moms. We've got 4 under 4 between the two of us.
Yeah, I think when we did the FarmHer episode, my youngest was 10 days old.
Yes.
Around there.
Yes, yes, you win.
And
the...
He's 7 months now, but...
yeah, you win the prize for the like shortest postpartum person on our TV show. I remember like the day I sent you a message, I was like, I don't know. I think I saw it on Instagram. I'm like, did you have a baby like yesterday or the day before? And we, and you didn't say no. Like you said, yes, I did, but you didn't say no to us coming, which I feel like is amazing.
Yeah, that's definitely the way, you know, it's kind of a philosophy that we have with parenting and kind of this lifestyle, that this is like this big intersection of being a mom and being a parent and being a business owner and being a farmer and all of the things. And for us, we find it works really well when we just kind of intertwine all of it and make things happen.
Yeah, we like it's, I think too, like our interest in food was definitely there, but the interest in lifestyle of farming was also a big part of it, because we had heard about our grandparents growing up, so kind of skipped a generation, but in this area, like family homesteads were definitely a thing. And so growing up in, you know, the 60s and 70s, our parents grew up on small farms that were just big enough to support their families and teach them, you know, the life skills of 4-H. And that was very much what we heard about, but not what we saw from our parents. And so we were interested in recreating that with our own family.
Absolutely.
Yeah, well, it looks to me like you're doing it. You've done it. You're digging in. So we have a couple minutes left here. And so, you know, you guys had both gotten to a point where it was time to make a change in your life. And did your businesses start kind of time period wise around the same time? Or Belinda, were you off and running with a Happy Camper cocktail company before Venice's?
Yeah, I quit my job in like April of 2016. So mine came first. At the time, Venice was still working with Redfin and still commuting. And she actually began growing for Happy Camper Cocktail while she was still in that position and doing it. She was just kind of doing all the things, wearing all the hats. And then you decided to leave later.
Yeah, about a year after you.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah, and that had a lot to do with the timing of our pregnancies and what our husbands were doing at the time, you know, because we definitely don't just have the ability to launch right into a money-making farm business, you know, so we needed to have some insurance in the meantime.
Yes, yeah, I mean, that's all of us, right? Like, you got to juggle all these different things. So, and one quick question, did either of you have a background in marketing or have familiarity with how to brand a business?
No, it's just always been something we've been passionate about.
We both come from an HR background. So that is our background. Belinda was a recruiter and I was more of a program manager.
Yeah.
So we have that like project management and kind of selling background, but not in a traditional marketing sense by any sense of the imagination.
In my role too, I was, as a recruiter, I did a lot of event planning and Microsoft's university recruiting program was very focused on events. So I will say that one amazing thing about that job is that I learned a ton about that area while not like ever going to school in it. So I got to be on a project team that focused on the marketing of our recruiting team.
Yes.
And so I learned a lot just from observation with that. And then they gave us a lot of freedom and budget to kind of plan our approach at our universities that we were responsible for in the way that we wanted. And so I did get the opportunity to play around with like, what kind of like branding position I wanted to take. So I think that there was the chance to do it, but we don't have any formal training.
Well, thank you. That sets the stage for what we're going to talk about next, about how you actually started these businesses and what you've done to brand them since then. So stick with us here on Shining Bright. We'll be back talking with Venice and Belinda. Welcome back to Shining Bright. We have been talking with Venice and Belinda, who have the Happy Camper Cocktail Company and the Simple Goodness Farm. When I think about you guys, I call you the Simple Goodness Sisters. And so I guess this like leads right into our, I don't know if I made that up. Is that a thing that you guys have out there?
Really a thing. That's the thing. Yeah, that's my brand name.
Oh, good. Then your branding is working.
Yay.
So let's talk about that a little bit. We ended the last segment and you know, you guys may have some parts and pieces that helped you lead you into starting these new businesses of yours. But when you started your separate businesses, how did you go about that? What are some of the tools that you used? And did you have a plan, right? And we'll take it from there.
I think one of our very first tools used was a blog. So we had actually been running a hobby blog under many different names over the years that was really about sharing what we were doing with actually our younger sister, Kate, when she was showing dairy goats and about Venice's process of buying her first house and getting goats and stuff.
Our first blog was called The Dairy Queen.
Yeah.
Fun fact. Oh, I love The Dairy Queen.
Yeah, so we had dabbled in blogging, but never at a point where like people are making money and, you know, staying home and, you know, never, it was very much a hobby for us. And then we had all that content though, so we kind of just kept changing that over time and figuring out what we wanted to do with it. And so our current website still has some of those original Dairy Queen blog posts, which we should probably go back and clean up. But that was one tool we used. And then I actually built my own website using Squarespace back for Happy Camper Cocktails. And then I had a friend who had recently finished an MBA program in marketing and was willing to take me on as a project for her school, actually. And so when she rehauled my website, it looked a heck of a lot better. But I was able to kind of bootstrap my first site. And then Instagram was a big tool for both brands in the beginning as well. A little less so lately. The algorithm is getting a little more frustrating, but social media has definitely been a huge tool that we've used.
Yeah, for the farm, we started out, you know, as just it was our house, you know, it was our home. And so we didn't have any idea how we were going to turn it into a business or if we even wanted to be quite frank. And so, but we knew we wanted to try to grow something. And so we started growing the garlic. And the garlic, we host an annual event called the Garlic and Goat Festival. And that's been a fun kind of experiment in branding in of itself. And that's how a lot of people got to know our farm specifically. And we started out the first year, we just had a bunch of garlic and we threw a sign out on the road, like a sandwich board sign that said fresh garlic, come and get it. And that event has really helped launch the brand of the farm. And so the farm is the Simple Goodness Farm and we're the Simple Goodness Sisters. And so it really helps connect the farm to our joint business, which is cocktail mixers and such like that. And so that grew through also a lot of PR. So we try to just grab any PR opportunities that we can. And then reaching out to bloggers or newspapers or, you know, anyone basically who wants to talk about things, podcasters, media is a big one. Just trying to grow the brands organically and inexpensively.
Yes.
Yeah, we've spent almost zero money.
Yeah. I mean, I'm with you here exactly on Farm Her. You know, I mean, this is the way of things. And I always try to tell people like all of these resources are out there. You just have to run after it. And I think the interesting thing when I look at your brand is you've just put out who you are. Like, it's not like you created this brand, you know, that this is just your life and how it intersects with each other and with those different things. And that's, I think, the cool thing about it. I mean, I saw you guys on Instagram. You commented on somebody's post who's on our TV show. And it turned into like, oh my gosh, we're going to be there like next week. Sorry, you had a baby yesterday, but can we come? You know? Not sorry at all. It's
yeah, I think the hardest thing for us, or the thing that we are, like we were talking about, is that we're in the middle of going from a lifestyle brand, and which we've always been fairly good at, of sharing that life story of ours and the day on the life of a farm, right? We love telling that story, but then to transition that into a product has yes. been a little her for us, and something that we're like in the middle of doing right now.
Yeah. So you started the Simple Syrups as a joint business where people can buy your Simple Goodness Simple Syrups. And so tell me about a few lessons that you've learned, maybe carrying through from your other brands that you've put towards that, and maybe like lessons that you're still learning. Because like you said, lifestyle to product is a very different thing.
Yeah, we do incorporate the lifestyle as part of and the product together. It's almost like we're selling both at the same time when we sell this product, though. So part of that is just that we are really careful about our target market because we've learned who that is, and we market to them unapologetically, and that's women, and that's moms, and that's really different in the cocktail mixer space, and it's something very cool that actually sets us apart, and we've just leaned into it and said, you know, this is part of our brand, and a lot of the cocktail mixers out there, you'll look on a shelf, they look very masculine. They look like that old log cabin, bourbon-y, dark colors kind of thing. And ours is this bright white label that kind of jumps off the shelf. It's linen and high touch, and it's recyclable glass bottles. And we put on our packaging that everything is a drink mixer, not a cocktail mixer, because we want families to enjoy it together. We want moms to make their kid a soda and make themselves a cocktail at the end of a you know, long day and enjoy that like moment of celebration together. So knowing who our target market is from the lifestyle brand has been really key in helping us sell a product that we're really proud of, because we can really like say we're selling this to our friends and it feels very authentic to who we are.
Yeah. And every decision that we make as we're going through this process of launching new flavors and figuring out bottles and everything, we're constantly thinking about what will that look like and what will that say to the customer in the sense of our brand. So kind of, I like to think about the brand, our brand is what people say when we're not around. Mm-hmm. And what do they think and feel when they see our bottle on a shelf with 100 other bottles? And so that is something that we're constantly thinking about as we're sourcing bottles. Like that's one of the things that we're doing right now. And it's even the color of the caps matters. Like we're even thinking about like, okay, all of our friends' homes right now have this kind of like farmhouse style. It's very black and white and metallics, and rose gold is really big right now. And so it's like even things like that, that I don't think has traditionally been applied to a lot of like homespun farm products. It just really helps it feel a little more elevated and feel like it belongs in a store and not just at a farm stand. Even though we still love farm stands and we sell at farm stands, like we want it to be able to live everywhere in the world so that it has the opportunity to grow further.
I love it. I love it. So we've got about a minute left. Where are the Simple Goodness sisters going to go next?
Oh, great question. Well, like you said, we hope to be, you know, on a national level. So that's really what we're working on now, is getting our prices and our packaging and all these things, our distribution dialed in so that we can, you know, find wider homes for our simple syrups. And then we're really expanding the product line as well.
Yeah. So we're going to launch into some different product lines, including some salt and sugar rimmers, and kind of utilizing basically taking the herbs that we're growing, we're putting them into the syrups, but we still have a lot of excess even on our little 10 acres. And so how do we find a spot for all of those herbs? We don't like to waste anything that we...
It's the use the whole animal concept, but applied to herbs and edible flowers. So anything that can be a drink mixer, we're going to make it.
Awesome. Okay, so we're just about out of time. Where can people find your products? How do they find you?
Right now, the best place is simplegoodnesssisters.com. That's our retail site. You just go to the store at simplegoodnesssisters.com. And then we're available in some Washington retailers as well. And those are kind of noted on our website.
Awesome. Well, thank you, ladies. Best of luck to you.
Thank you so much. You too, guys.
Welcome back to Shining Bright. So we have had a fun episode so far talking to the Simple Goodness sisters about how they have built their farm and their brand from the ground up. And now we're going to take it over to, I'm going to call you a branding expert. Welcome to Shining Bright, Jodi Olean.
Well, thank you, Margie.
Yes, yes. So we were just laughing offline. We have been, existed in the same space for a number of years. You have participated in, I Am Farm Her last year. And the funny thing is we have found ourselves like in each other's company at least once in the last 3 weeks. So I think this is a pattern.
And I think we should keep it up. What do you think?
I like it. Yeah, I do. I do. So to tell people what we're talking about, it all started because I went to a Louisiana Women in Ag conference and was a speaker, as were you, just a few weeks ago. And it was that event was super fun, wasn't it? Like those ladies in Louisiana know how to like have a good time.
Anytime that I can go back to Louisiana and hang out with those ladies, I am in. I had a blast.
Yeah.
And the crawfish farm. I got to visit a crawfish farm.
So cool. Yeah. Yeah. We filmed in Louisiana like a year ago and visited a crawfish farm, and it was one of the neatest things. But I think that was the first conference I've been to where there was karaoke and line dancing going on at the kickoff, like networking event. And I loved it.
Yes, they know how to have a good time.
Yeah, yeah. So Jodi and I it was a very small airport where we were flying out of. And so we ended up hanging out at the airport together, and our plane got delayed a little bit. So we had a fun conversation there, and I'm excited to continue it here. So Jodi, can you tell us a little bit about your agriculture background?
Excellent question, Margie. And you know, I am a little bit of ag and a little bit of non-ag. And I think that's kind of what's involved in, I guess, my secret sauce over the years is that I actually grew up beachside. I like to say my mom had a Yorkie and my dad, you know, drove a Cadillac and he liked to golf, you know? So like anything beyond agriculture, dad actually worked at the Cape. He was a rocket scientist. Yeah. So like not closely tied to agriculture. And then, on my first trip to see a dairy, I worked with a company called Sugarlick, and I was doing a marketing survey internship. And I met an amazing dairy farmer during my time. I went to the University of Florida, and this internship kind of led me to food, animal, agriculture. And when I met this dairy farmer, I was supposed to stay there like 15 minutes, do the survey and leave. 4.5 hours later, like I had missed like 3 follow-up meetings. And I was in awe. I was in awe of everything. Everything about the care that has been taken. And, you know, when we really talk about our farm hers and the women in agriculture, and we spent a lot of time by those baby calves. And I remember that farmer saying that there's nobody in this world that takes care of these baby calves like the women that I have mm-hmm. here at the farm. And, you know, just hearing the story of these people, I fell in love. After that, I started working at an animal ag pretty much constantly, got a master's in food and resource economics, and the rest is truly history.
Yeah, yeah. So now you're like living it, right? You are in Oklahoma. Is that where you live? Kansas. You live in Kansas.
Kansas. But
sorry.
You know what? I take trips to Oklahoma every once in a while. Nothing wrong with a little Oklahoma.
We were in Oklahoma and Kansas last week, so my brain is not remembering where I was.
Yeah, no. So I live in Kansas, yes. And I've worked for all kinds of farmers. So I've worked with cattle farmers out here. I've worked with pig farmers out here. I even started to work with like landscape companies. Like there's so much really amazing agriculture that goes on out in Kansas. And really that's why I stayed. I got out here to Kansas and I realized that like Florida is amazing, right? But there is a lot of ag in Kansas, mm-hmm. and they really want to connect with people.
Yeah. It's true. And well, I think that's the focus of our episode, is about that branding and how anybody, whether it's a person or a business or a big organization, right, connects with people and what they put out there. And I know you have spent your career doing just that. And so can you talk us a little bit about your what your background has been career-wise, like what you do, and then about your business today?
Sure. So my background, I would say cut my teeth with Kansas pig farmers. And I worked at the association in the state, and we did a lot of really cool things. And I don't know how much you know about kind of the feel. I know you're in Iowa. Pig farming's really cool in Iowa.
It is.
It's really cool to be a rancher in Kansas.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So we really elevated pig farmers, and we really found what made people go, wow, these pig farmers are amazing. And I think that really, really ties into what we're talking about here today, is really finding that feeling.
Of course. Yes. So, your next step professionally was to launch your own company. So can you tell us a little bit about what the focus is of that you have for your clients?
Yeah. So today I'm taking kind of what I learned back then and kind of morphing it into helping businesses, small businesses, organizations, you know, people really look at their entire outreach that they're doing, you know, figure out what's going to provide them with what they need to keep continuing in this business. And then targeting that with some like key tactics. So I say marketing and PR is what I do, but I really have a big digital focus. So digital is huge today. I was just looking at some things that some recent numbers, you know, people spend like 12 hours a day with media. These are huge numbers, but yeah, but where do they live? Like almost six and a half hours of that is on digital.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah. And, go ahead. Sorry.
No, you're good. So that's where we do, we focus a lot of our effort when we're talking about doing this outreach and creating connections and creating feelings is in that digital space.
Okay. I love it. I can't wait to hear more. So we have to get going to break here in just a minute. But when we come back, I want to dig into, you know, you talked about how you elevated those pig farmers. I want to understand like how that happened, right? And how, when you look at a brand and you look at what they're doing and how you can help them, like what are some of those things? If we're talking about a person out there who's listening, right? Who's going, I have this brand, I guess it's me, right? Like where can I go and what can I do? So everyone stick with us, because I know Jody's got some really great insight on this, on building your brand, no matter what that brand is. So stick with us here on Shining Bright. We'll be back in just a few minutes. And if you haven't heard, we have this event called I Am Farm Her coming up. It's going to be in Des Moines, Iowa, June 17th through the 19th. And tickets are available right now. You can go to www.iamfarmher.com. And we've got a couple of days lined full of awesome speakers and really engaging experiences for you. So check that out at iamfarmher.com. We'll be right back with Jody Olin. Welcome back. We are talking with Jody Olin about creating a brand. And so, Jody, you mentioned earlier that, you know, when you were working with the pig farmers in Kansas, that you elevated those pig farmers, right? Like you took a brand that was pig farming in Kansas and you elevated that. Can you take us back to kind of some of the roots about how you might think about elevating a brand?
Absolutely. You know, I think all of that starts at the very beginning of defining what a brand is. You know, I think a lot of us, especially like as we, and I've even done this, you know, I had a blog and I work, a lot of my friends have a blog. I'm hopefully going to launch one again here soon when life isn't so crazy. But when we think about brands, like, you know, where's the first place your mind goes when you think about a brand?
My mind? Oh,
yeah.
Well, I instantly, that's a great question. You turned it around on me. Okay. So I instantly think of Farm Her. I mean, obviously, like, we are like buried deep immersed in Farm Her, right? So to me, I think of that brand. And also, I mean, I guess, you know, I would always tell other people to think about their own person, their own self as a brand, you know, as it relates to what we put out there in the world, of course. But when I think of brand, I go right to something like Farm Her.
Yeah, exactly. And you know what? A lot of times, and you just said the most important thing. You think about yourself and what that is. And that is so important, because a lot of times when we think about a brand, we think about things like a color scheme. Mm-hmm. We think about things like a logo. We think about things like a look. And today's brand has nothing to do with really those elements. I mean, of course, you want to look clean, you want to be presentable, but like, we all learned how to shower a long time ago, right?
I hope so.
but really today, a brand is how you feel the moment you interact with a product, a service, or a business. I remember my first Farm Her. I remember crying listening to your opening presentation with like Miley Cyrus music.
Yes, yes.
Like the whole nine yards, you know, like when you can touch somebody that deeply,
yeah,
that is a brand. It's the feel. It's when you walk into a room, like if your brand is a blog, if you're a blogger, if that's what you want to be, or an advocate or a business or an organization, it's when you walk into the room, the feeling that people get.
Yeah. And that's whether it's a person or a company, right? Like it all blends together, I think, at some point.
Absolutely. I think, you know, I think years ago there was more of a defining line between, oh, this is company, oh, this is person. And, you know, today, if we're doing a job, it's because we like it, you know, and if we're not in that space now, that's where we're going. We all want to be doing a job that we find personal happiness with.
Yeah. Yes, of course we do. And, you know, whatever that means, right? Like it's different to everybody, but, I think your brand and who you are, and we talked about this last week too, like authenticity, right? Like that matters. It's so hard in this world. You see, I mean, everybody has a brand on social media in one way or another, and you see these things and you kind of think, oh, should I be doing that? And then you're like, ah, I mean, you can only do something else for so long before it doesn't feel right. And then you're like, that's just not me. Right. I always talk about like the corporate Margie, that brand needed to go away because I didn't want it to be my brand. I let it be, but it wasn't.
Exactly. And the only way we can really bring that, the emotion that we want to bring when we walk into a room, or when our brand is presented to somewhere, is by doing something that we like, that encompasses our values, our person. You know, when we look at the brands that we love them because they provide us quality items. They fill this need better than anything else that they've tried or that people have tried. They're consistent. We know we can buy them over and over. We get the same thing, you know,
yeah.
We can trust them.
Yes.
We don't have to worry about, you know, so even if like, and I always say, you know, Cat and Jack clothes from Target, mm-hmm, for my kids.
Yes.
You know, like I know that if they get a hole or a rip, I can return them and get another, you know?
Right.
I mean, if there's a problem, I can count on them. But then that last one, and this is what you were talking about, is the values. They help me be a better version of who I want to be. So that's really why we love brands today.
Yeah. I love this. This is great. Like you're throwing out quotes that I need in my life all of the time. I have a lot of people come up to me and they like Farm Her. They want to be a part of it, or they are a part of it in some way, shape or form. And they're like, how could I start my own brand, right? Like, what are some of the basic things? If you have somebody, I don't know if you work with clients from the ground up like that or not, but if somebody said, you know, how can I like start putting my brand out there, especially knowing that, you know, the majority of people's time is spent in the digital space. What are a few tips that you could give somebody who wants to start building that brand?
So I do. I definitely work with people kind of from the ground up to really start thinking about their brand. And so we all start with this dream, right? We want to build this brand. We want to do this thing. But really, it's all about the people that we're serving. So that's another place that sometimes we get mixed up. We think, I'm going to bring all of these things to the table. And we forget to ask our audience, the people that we're going to serve, what they really need that we have. And so I always start kind of from the base up with figuring out what you can offer and who you can offer it to. So this is simple stuff. Like, this is not brain science, but sometimes like you need your friends to sit down with you and figure out what you do good. I do this for a living for other people. I had to call my friend up and be like, could you tell me what my brand is online?
Yeah.
You know, it's so hard to do this for yourself.
It is. It's really hard to look at yourself objectively, how other people might look at you. It most certainly is.
Yeah. So that's where I start. You know, take three of your friends. Take a friend that knows you better than anyone else in this whole entire world. Ask them, hey, you know, when you think of me, what are the three things that you think of? Ask someone that you kind of know, someone that's not an acquaintance, you hang out with from time to time, ask them, when you think of me, what are the three things you think of? And then ask someone that's more of an acquaintance. And you know what, if you got to cook these people dinner to like just get them all around the table, like whatever, like there's no shame in this game.
Right.
And get that. Really start seeing what you are in other people's eyes. And that's a great place to begin.
I absolutely love that. I feel like I want to invite some people over for dinner because like even, I mean, Farmer is a brand that's out there in the world, but you know, sometimes you start to go like, we're doing all these things. And it's, I think no matter whether you're starting out or you are already established in some way, shape or form, I think that these are great things to ask yourself, to remind yourself of why you're doing it and who you're doing it for. That those are all wonderful things. So lucky for all of you out there listening, convinced Jody to stick with us for the wrap up here. And I think we want to dig in just a little bit about some of that digital strategy, right? Because I think that that's where like my head starts feeling like it's going underwater. I'm like, what am I even doing here? So I would love to hear Jody's thoughts on breaking some of that digital stuff down. We'll be back here on Shining Bright with Jody Olean in just a few minutes. And for anything Farm Her related, you can head to our website, farmher.com, blogs, stories, events, and more. Welcome back to Shining Bright. We are wrapping it up and Jody Olean is still with us. We're talking about creating a brand and Jody is really an expert in this area and I think brings some calmness to when you think about all of these brands out there and like what their goal is. So Jody, I know we talked earlier in the show about digital, right? And how the focus really, really needs to lean towards digital. That has to be a large part of somebody's strategy. Can you talk to me about how you might break that down for a brand? And because I always tell people, like, you don't have to do it all, right? Because that just seems like the most overwhelming thing on the face of the earth. So how do you break that down when you look at a brand?
You know, I feel like we are all stuck in this. You know, we want to do all the things. We want to be in all the places. But how can we invest our time, you know, the wisest with optimal reach, with optimal connection, with optimal followers? It's no longer about maximizing because we don't want everybody today's brand serves a certain kind of person. And this is where homework becomes a big deal. Do you like homework? How do you feel about homework, Margie?
I don't like it. I'm actually getting ready to go back to like a 12-week school course thing starting tomorrow. And I am literally scared of the homework.
You're going to do fine. And you would do fine on this homework too. So sometimes we all need a little boost. So I encourage brands to do their homework, to sit down and to really think about their customer and who they serve. And, you know, we all go straight to, okay, demographics, age range, gender, geographic location, education, occupation, income. I mean, these are a given. But here's what we really need to start thinking about. Is we need to start thinking about the lifestyle, the hobbies, their dreams, their attitudes. What problems can we help them solve? You know, especially in the digital space, when you go to Google, you ask Google a question. When you go to Pinterest, it's, you know, what clothes do I want to wear or what recipe can I cook? We're asking questions and we need brands that step up and answer those questions.
I love that. I guess I never really thought about it like that, right? Like how we all consume that digital is usually because we're asking a question. I mean, unless you're just like logging Netflix hours or something, right? But yeah, I absolutely love that. And so if you tell people, I mean, maybe this goes to that, like it probably depends on the brand when you tell them where to start, whether, you know, let's jump into Pinterest with both feet or let's hang out on Twitter. How do you break some of that down?
So then that steps directly into that. So once we figure out who we're really, who we're really serving, who is really our clientele, who we want to be speaking to, then we have a clear path to the social investments or the digital investments that we need to make. Because we know certain kind of people live in certain kind of places, and that could be Facebook, Instagram, Pinterest, Twitter, mm-hmm. whatever it may be, we almost have a clear pathway. So again, doing the homework, not always super fun,
right.
But really thinking about it sets you up.
Right. And it cuts through that clutter, because I think that's a big thing that I know we struggle with that here. And I would assume that most brands do, right? Like it feels really cluttered. But if you can drill it down to your why and your who and their needs, I think that is a great way to look at it.
Absolutely. And I like huge, like go out, any brand in the world should read Building a Story Brand. And how your brand should not be the hero in the story. So in your story, the hero is the person that you're serving. It's your customer. It's your consumer. You know, you're there to come alongside of the hero. You're there to be the Yoda. You're there to be the guide and guide people to what they need next in life.
I'm still typing. I love this. Like again, Jody with the quotes over here, like, but I think that drills this all down to just the perfect message of, you know, in our society, I think it's easy to look at it like, it's all about me, but it is all about somebody else. And I think that is where the real power in a brand is for sure. I love that.
And you can see that's where your mind is from your brand, from Farm Her. You know, like you're a strong character in your brand, but really your heroes are the women that you see, that you love.
Yes.
That you interview, that you know, all that.
Yes. So Jody, if people want to connect with you, how can they do that?
Look up jodyolene.com. Find me on Facebook, Jody Olene, or Instagram or Twitter or wherever.
I love it. Thank you so much for joining us today here on Shining Bright.
Thank you, Margie.
You've been listening to Shining Bright by Farm Her. Be sure to tune in every Thursday at 8 p.m. Eastern and Saturday at noon Eastern on SiriusXM's Rural Radio Channel 147 and the SiriusXM app. And now, go shine bright. Next week, we'll be bringing it back to one of our most popular downloaded episodes of Shining Bright by Farm Her. We're bringing it back next week.